this morning, Romans 4. Amen. Well, I like talking about Jesus. I like singing about Him. It's all about Him. I pastored a church in Louisiana a number of years and had a lady come to our church. She'd come on Sunday nights occasionally. And she'd say, you know, she told me one time, she said, you know, Pastor, I've heard more about Jesus in 10 minutes of one of your messages than I've heard in a month at my church. And I said, you're in the wrong church. You know, stay some part of something that you're not spiritually profitable. No, why would you do that? Good night, it's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. And Romans chapter 4 talks about so much. This is, again, Romans is the theological book of the New Testament. My pastor, who trained me in ministry, would be 91 today. He's in heaven for the last 7 years, I believe. 6 years, maybe? Four? Three? I'm not sure. But anyway, whatever. He was the one who said, I guarantee you, 1 minute in heaven, you're going to wonder why you ever took a vitamin, you know. I mean, why did you prolong that? But anyway, he's there in the presence of the Lord. And they wanted him to teach theology at the local Baptist school, college there. And he said, only if you let me teach Romans as my textbook. And they did. They let him teach Romans as his textbook for theology, because it is. And today we're going to talk about some of the great doctrines of the faith once again. Talking about the faith of Abraham. Verse 1, what shall we say that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? By the way, those words, hath found, same words that are on our state seal. Eureka! I found it. You know, that's what, I found it. That's, you look at the state seal of California, and they found it. They found gold, right? That's, I found it. Well, what's Abraham found? Eureka! What has he found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of them, father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Confused yet? I'm tongue twisted. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed, through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed, that it was imputed to them, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Lord, what a word here in Romans 4. Help me now, I pray, to seek to give the understanding and the sense thereof of this passage in Jesus' name. Paul, under the inspiration of God, has already presented clearly the way of salvation. In Romans chapter 3, he ended, "For all sin and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely through the faith that is in Jesus." He laid it out. All have sinned, all need salvation, and it's provided through Jesus. God could remain holy and yet devise means whereby lost sinful man could be saved, and that means is Jesus Christ. That's how God remained holy and yet allowed sinful man to be saved, through Jesus Christ. But no doubt there were some that were in the Roman church who may have thought that this was a new doctrine and definitely didn't apply to their Jews through their rich spiritual history. So Paul takes them back to Father Abraham, and he takes them right back and shows that he was saved just like they could be saved, just like we are saved, through the faith of Abraham. He's called our father in verse 1, referring to the Jew. And then he's called the father of them that believe in verse 11 and other verses, referring to all that are trusting in the passage. So there's three important facts here given about Abraham's salvation that prove that the patriarch's spiritual experience was like ours today. Number one, Abraham was justified by faith, not works. By faith, not works. Now, Paul calls in three wonderful Old Testament witnesses to prove this. Moses gives the record of Abraham's faith, because what he says in the first few verses comes from Genesis chapter 15. Of course, Moses was the one that recorded that. And then he talks about David, quoting Psalm 32. And, of course, he's talking about Abraham. So it's like Israel's top three are being called in. I mean, you don't get any better than that, right? Abraham, Moses, and David. Abraham's the father of the Jews. And then Moses is like the deliverer, you know. And then he's like number one. And then David's the greatest king that Israel ever had. So it's just like they're talked through. And they all agree. Here's what they agree on. Salvation is by faith alone, by grace through faith. First of all, Moses' account. "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. But what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Paul records the experience of Abraham from Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, God took Abraham out and he looked at the stars and he said, "Your seed is going to be as the stars of heaven." Genesis 15, 6 says, "And Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Counted. God counted righteousness to him. Counted means to credit to another's account. Now this word counted, it's also the word is used imputed and reckoned three times, three ways in this passage. 11 times it's used. Verse 3, "It was counted unto him." Verse 6, "God imputeth righteousness." Verse 8, "The Lord will not impute sin." Verse 9, "The faith that was reckoned." Verse 10, "How then was it reckoned?" Verse 11, "Might be imputed." Verse 22, "Therefore it was imputed." Verse 23, "That it might be imputed to him." Verse 24, "Unto us whom it shall be imputed." Over and over again, this word's used. It's a bankkeeper's term. It means that this righteousness was put on his account. If I went down to the bank and put $1,000 dollars in Rich's account, and I called Rich and I said, Rich, there's $1,000 in your account. Rich would believe it before he received it. He would believe the word I wrote to him on a text message or whatever. He'd call the bank. Sure enough, it's there. Then he could go down and receive it. It was accounted to him. It was imputed to his account. I said, well, if it's $1,000 in my account, somebody else has got my account number. Well, kind of like the little boy who the teacher was trying to get him to get math and using money. He said, now, son, if you had $1 in this pocket and $2 in this pocket, what would you have? And he said, somebody else's pants on. So he knew he didn't have that kind of money. Well, that's this accounting term. When Abraham believed God and what God promised, his imperfect faith became perfect righteousness in the eyes of God. God credited Abraham's account with righteousness. Faith is required to be saved, but saving faith has no power in and of itself. The power rests in God. You see that it's not my faith, it's my faith in God. And the faith rests in the power of which it's placed, and the power is in God. One author I read, are you ready with that slide, Bob? That faith slide? Do you got that faith slide? One author I read put it like this. You know, I've seen faith as forsaking all, I trust Him. But I like this one. Facts. The F stands for facts, okay? The facts about God's Son dying for our sins and raising again. That's the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. He says it's the gospel, how that Jesus died for your sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the facts, okay? The A stands for agreement to the facts. That is, I agree with God that I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then, so I get the facts, I agree with the facts, and then I internalize the facts. That is, the truth is received to my heart and became part of 10 verses 9 and 10. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God has saved Him, raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Got an echo, Bob? I know you are. T is trusting and turning. Turning from your sin and trusting in God's Word and His promise. This is repentance. It's turning from whatever you're believing in. It may be your good works. It may be your righteousness, whatever it is. It may be your way of doing things. But you turn and you believe what God has said. So that's a turning. Acts 20:21. Paul said it was like this. Faith toward God and a repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then H stands for hope. My hope is in Christ alone. Believing by faith, He's my Savior. This faith was counted, contrasted to works in verse 2. Look at verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. If Abraham, or anybody else for that matter, is justified by their works, they could glory in themselves, not God. In other words, not Abraham or not anyone is going to be in heaven because of them. Nobody's going to be strutting around heaven saying, I'm here because of me. God got a good deal when He got me. I mean, He saved a good old boy. You might have been a wretched sinner, but God, I'm here because... No. You're not here. Nobody could, you know, if it was by works, you could. You see the contrast? But it's not by works. He goes on. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. You see, you earn wages for working. If your boss came to you on Friday and handed you your check and said, I just want you to know that I'm such a benevolent person that I'm just going to give you this check. You'd say, well, you're giving me this check because you owe me this check. I worked for this. Well, then that's reckoned. But salvation is not like that. You see, salvation is a gift. And the main goal of the gospel is not to bring glory to me, it's to bring glory to God. Ephesians 3:21. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So Moses' account. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Then he gives David's account, verse 6 through 8. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Psalm 32 was written after David's sin with Bathsheba. David wrote two psalms after the sin with Bathsheba. One was 51, the Psalm of Repentance. And one, he said in that psalm, he said that I might teach sinners the way. And Psalm 32 is him teaching sinners. He's teaching sinners. And in teaching sinners, he teaches them that God forgives sin and imputes righteousness apart from works. God doesn't impute sins. In other words, once we're justified, our record contains Christ's perfect righteousness and can never again contain our sins. Now, David is saying that under the inspiration of God after he had sinned with Bathsheba. David knew, you see, when he sinned, he needed to be restored to God through fellowship. But because David had already been saved, believing in the Messiah, that sin, though as heinous as it was, his sin of adultery, then the sin of murdering Uriah the Hittite, and all the others that died on the battlefield as a result of that sin, though they were heinous sins, they would not be put on David's account because God said that he doesn't impute, he doesn't deposit sins to our account once we've been made righteous. Now that's good news. That's why David calls it blessedness. Blessed is the man. Listen this morning, if you're saved, but you've sinned against the Lord, that sin needs to be forgiven for fellowship. And you won't walk with God, you won't be happy in your life, you won't be glorifying God as you should with that sin in your life. But that sin needs to be forgiven so that fellowship can be restored. But those sins are not held against us. God keeps a record of my works after I'm saved to reward me at the judgment seat, not my sins. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Talking about the power of the cross this morning. Amen. That's the power of the cross. Son of God became sin for us. You see, there were some great imputations that happened. When Adam sinned, sin was imputed unto every one of Adam's children. When you were born a sinner, and so was I. Didn't take too long before your parents realized that. You were a sinner, and you needed Jesus. Okay, so that's what my parents probably prayed hard for me. I know they did. But anyway, so that sin was imputed to me. But on Calvary's cross, the sin of the world was imputed to God through Jesus Christ. So that once we're saved, His righteousness can be imputed to me. Isn't that good news? Man, that's why when I give somebody a gospel tract, I'll say, hey, let me give you some good news. Good news, God loves you so much. Wow. It's good news. Do you know this blessedness? If you're trying to measure up, you need to trust Jesus. Trust and faith. Same thing. You say, I have a hard time with this faith thing. Just trust Him. Just put your faith and trust in Jesus. No peace without it. You know, my testimony, I was saved in 1983, October 16th. Matter of fact, I'm going to have a birthday this week. How about that? So, years after that, I think maybe 6 or 7 years after that, I got out of the military and we were in Louisiana. And the church I was a member at when I first came back to the States, pastor used to have a prophecy conference every year and have a dynamic prophecy speaker in. I'm a Bible prophecy. He was just an excellent Bible prophecy preacher. And I really started doubting my salvation, thinking about I was going to miss the rapture. It scared me to death. It really did. And I just really went through a personal struggle. And I knew that I couldn't get feelings, back from the pastor or anything. I needed to settle this thing with God. And I was reading my devotions one morning, and I was reading Romans chapter 4. And Abraham believed God. And it's like the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, Dennis, you going to believe God? You going to believe God or you going to believe your feelings? You going to believe God or you going to believe the devil? Who are you going to believe? And I believe it was that moment God settled it in my heart. And I don't think I've doubted since. You see, it's all about believing God. And God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to believe God. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to, you know, feel it out. Faith it out. Believe God. Abraham was justified by faith, not works. Secondly, Abraham was justified by grace, not the law. Verse 9 through 17. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. So he's saying previously in Romans, the Jew, he talked about, had gloried in circumcision and the law. If a Jew were to be righteous, they would have to obey the law, and part of that was being circumcised. Well, Paul already made it clear that unless that was obedience from the heart, any outward sign meant nothing. Kind of like us today. You know, baptism, communion, the Lord's Supper, giving, all of those are good works, but none of them save the sinner. The main point here is that Abraham was declared righteous before God before he was circumcised. You see, you do the math. And God tells us his age, by the way. If you read Genesis 15 and then read Genesis 17, you'll read that his circumcision occurred when he was 99 years old. Recorded in Genesis chapter 17, verses 23 through 27. That was 14 years after Genesis 15, when he believed God and was declared righteous. So what Paul's saying there, he's going, listen, if you're believing your circumcision as far as you obtaining righteousness, let me tell you about Father Abraham. He was declared righteous 14 years before he was circumcised. So his righteousness had nothing to do with his circumcision. And then he says, circumcision was given as a seal and a sign, verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had being uncircumcised. So it signified, his circumcision did, that he had heart belief in the Lord. And it was seal that confirmed his righteousness, didn't make him righteous. The faith that he had in the Lord had already been counted to him for righteousness. It's like when a person follows the Lord in believer's baptism. It's a picture of their salvation. It doesn't save. Declares to the church that this person has been saved and that they're following the Lord in what He commands. You see, the first thing God tells us to do as a believer is to follow Him in believer's baptism. That water doesn't save. That obedience doesn't save. It's a testimony to what's happened on the inside of you. It's like this wedding band right here. This wedding band is a sign that I'm married. I'm still married. Matter of fact, I had this thing messed up one time and I took it to get fixed. And a week later I went back and that lady said, you still got a mark on your finger. And I said, I got a mark on more than my finger, lady, okay? In other words, listen, this shows, and I'm glad for it. It shows. Don't even think about it oftentimes, you know. But it shows that I'm married. It's a sign. It's a seal. Somebody said that a wedding band is a seal. It's a circle that limits circulation. You'll get that in a minute. But it's a sign. It's a seal that I'm married. Verse 13 and 7 through 7, he goes on to say that Abraham is justified also before the law was given. So it couldn't be the law that justified him. The key word there is promise. If you circle verse 13, there's promise. Verse 14, promise. Verse 16, promise. Verse 20, promise. Verse 21, promise. It was a promise. Abraham believed God's promise and was justified not by keeping the law. The law was given to the Jew to govern their behavior. Just like the epistles are given to us to help us in our Christian growth. But keeping the epistles doesn't make me saved. They teach me how to live a godly life, teach me how to live for the Lord, be holy, and I need to do that, but had nothing to do with my salvation. Verse 16 is pivotal. Look what it says. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. You see, that's how we're saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, it's by faith through grace. Salvation is for all men. Abraham was justified by faith and walked in faith, and he becomes the father of all those that believe, both Jews and Gentiles. So Abraham is the father of the Jew, yes, but he's also the father of all those that believe. That's why the kids sing, Father Abraham had many sons, and I am one of them, and so are you, right? That's what I know that song. I learned that. I've sang that song. So let's just praise the Lord. Father Abraham. So Abraham was justified by faith, not works. Abraham was justified by grace, not the law. Because Abraham was justified by grace and faith, he lived a powerful life. Verse 17 through 25, just talk about what can happen in the life of a saved person. Tremendous account right here. Number one, he believed God. Verse 17. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. Notice the kind of God that he believed in. One who quickeneth the dead, make alive the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were. This is awesome because Abraham didn't have a Bible. All he had was a promise. All he had was a promise from God. He was surrounded by heathen unbelievers, no encouragement, yet he believed God. And think about this. We have the Bible. We have the church. We're surrounded by believers, yet we don't believe God. Abraham is such an encouragement, but a rebuke to us too. He believed God for miracles, one right after the other. Yet he didn't even have, all he had was a promise. And we've got the whole Word of God. We've got all God's going to give us. The Holy Spirit which lives within. Fellowship of the believers. And yet we have a hard time trusting God. He believed God. See, our God works miracles and speaks things as if they weren't into being. He told Abraham, I have made thee. Did you get it? A father of many nations. Not I will make thee. In Genesis chapter 12, when God spoke to Abram and called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, he gave him a blessing. He said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your seed. And I'm going to bless give you a land, a seed. And he said, through you, all the nations of the world be blessed. And here it says, as an account of that, I have made thee a father of many nations. He didn't have any kids then. He didn't have any kids. He was getting old, too. You see, but think about God, what God has said about us. He has said that we are victorious over sin, Satan, and self. You know what we need to do with that? Believe it. We need to act on it. We need to act like we're victorious over sin, Satan. Why is it that sin gets the best of us? Because we're not believing God. He has said that we're seated in heavenly places. Believe it. We're citizens of heaven. Believe it. He has said that if we ask, believing, we shall receive. Why do we have a hard time believing that? He said, he has said later on in Romans chapter 8 that we are already glorified. I don't feel very glorified sometimes, but he says it. We're glorified already. We need to believe God. So he believed God. Secondly, he believed against hope. Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope? That he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Wow. This means that there was no human grounds for hope, but he believed God anyway. He was 100 years old. Sarah was 90. Have a son? Right. Right. Sure. No way. Yet he believed God. You see, he believed God. And, you know, we think, oh, yeah, Abraham, don't you know he had a hard time with this? Doesn't say he did. Matter of fact, says he staggered not. Says he believed God. Says he had faith to believe it. Now, Sarah is back there in the tent laughing. But when Abraham walked in the tent, I think she knew he was serious. I kind of read the Bible with imagination. I don't know about you. That's all right. It's sanctified imagination, okay? Some of y'all get your minds out of the gutter. I'm just saying. Come on. He believed against hope. When things are going wrong, we need to trust God who gives us hope. Proverbs chapter 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Your own understanding says, "I'm 90 years old. I'm not having any kids." Your own understanding says, "It's not happening." But we got to trust God with all our heart. What is it that you're trusting God with right now? What is it that you're having a hard time trusting God with right now? Trust God with all thy heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. He hoped against hope. He believed against hope. He believed in spite of circumstances. Verse 19. "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." So he believed in, the thought continues from verse 18, in the fact that his own body and Sarah's was dead, which means destitute of power or to be impotent, which was no problem when God's in the equation. Problem for us, but he was not weak in faith. He remained strong in faith. What an example to us. What an example. We look at the circumstances, we look at the obstacles, and we say, "No way." We forget God. I think it was Corrie Ten Boom that said, "You look around, you'll be discouraged. You look within, you'll be discouraged. You look up, you'll be encouraged." We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Even, hey, listen, there's some things happening right now. Boy, just discourage me, doesn't it, you? I mean, you know what I got to do? I got to keep my eyes on Jesus. I got to keep my eyes on the goal. And my job hasn't changed. Our job as a church is to get the gospel out to this world. And, you know, we're going to do the best we can to get the gospel to this world. We need to all stay focused on the Lord and His promises. Fourthly, he believed without staggering. Verse 20. "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." To stagger means to divide. The idea of a divided or double-minded man. Doubting one minute and not doubting the next. You know, or doubting one minute and trusting the next. And back and forth, wavering. Abraham wasn't like this. As a result, he gave God the glory. You know what it means to give God the glory? It means to make God look good. And that's what he did. He made God look good. Don't you know, everybody in, you know, when Sarah got pregnant, I don't think everybody said, "Abraham, what a man." I think they said, "Abraham, what a God. It's a miracle." Well, yeah, it's God. It's God. He believed without staggering. He believed that God could perform, verse 21. "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Fully persuaded means that he had conviction. He was firm in his belief of God's promise. Do we believe God like this? Do we believe what God has promised He will perform? Do our lives reflect that we're believing God? Can others look at us and say, they're believing God? I mean, we go through the valley, maybe sometimes a deep valley. Same valley our neighbor goes through. Maybe our neighbor, you know, they get cancer, we get cancer. They go through the same storms we do. Death in the family or something like that. But yet, the way we handle it ought to make God look good. And it will when we believe God. A fully persuaded person lives life to the fullest, trusting God. Now look at verse 22. "And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness." All that happened after Abraham's life, he got through faith. He got that son. God gave him Isaac. A little bit later, he told him to take him up and sacrifice him. Genesis chapter 22. He said, "I'm going to test your faith. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest." First mention of love in the Bible. A father to a son. You know what the Bible is about?
a father's love to his son and giving that son to the world. He said, take him up and sacrifice him there on Mount Moriah. You know, we talk about this. We say, you know, Abraham, you know, 3 long days, you know, don't you know he wrestled with the Lord? But that's not Bible. I think he believed not. I think he believed, staggered not. And he went up there, and he said to the fellows going with him, he said, me and the son are going to go yonder, and we will come again. And they did. And he got up there, and he got ready to bury the knife. And the Bible says in Hebrews that he knew that God would raise that man from the dead if God allowed him to kill him. He believed that. And God didn't let him bury the knife. You see, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees in John chapter 8. And he said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced in it. When did Abraham see Jesus? On Mount Moriah. In the person of Isaac. He saw him dead and resurrected. He went through with it in God's eyes, and God gave him his son back. I want to tell you, a few thousand years later on that same mountain, God did bury the knife in his only begotten son, Jesus. But he rose again the third day. Hallelujah. And he's alive today. And he'll save everyone who calls upon him. I like what he says right here. Verse 24. But now verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. Amen. I like that us. To whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You see, it's not just written. He says, I'm not just writing about Abraham. I'm writing to us. And if you believe this, he says, he imputes righteousness to you. And everybody here that's saved this morning, Jesus Christ has imputed righteousness to our account. And when he looks on me, he sees Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. The privilege to stand once again and preach about your salvation. Lord, if there's anyone here that's not believing in Jesus, fully trusting in him, I pray that today they'll turn from whatever they're believing and trusting and turn to you and be saved today. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed this morning. If you need to come and pray, feel free to come to this altar. If you need to pray to be saved and you'd like to talk to somebody about that, we're right here. We can help you any way we can. Show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're saved. Let God have His way in your life this morning.